As we come to the end of Lent, now is a final opportunity to ask ourselves the question, what kind of Christian am I? Are you a Christian who's just waiting around, hoping to get to heaven, or are you a Christian who knows the power of God in your life now? In the reading from Romans, Paul asks the question, what kind of Christian are you? And he asks it in this way, are you a Christian who is living in the flesh, or are you living in the spirit? When Paul talks about the flesh, it is very important to understand what he means. He does not mean that there is the body and its desires, which is a lower form of life, and the spirit, which is a higher form of life. He does not mean that our goal should be to become free of our bodies and live purely in the spirit. He does not mean that the body and its feelings and desires is bad, and the spirit is good. What he does mean is that we are made for spiritual life, but many people live as if they were only a body, only flesh. So his question is, are you living like you are only a body, or are you living knowing that you are a spiritual person created in the image of God? When you experience sexuality, is it just physical desire, or is it sexuality influenced and shaped by the spirit? When you experience emotion, are you controlled by your emotions, or is your emotional life controlled and shaped by the spirit? So a person who's living as if he or she were just a body, just a bundle of emotions and physical desires without the spirit, is not living a complete and full life. A person who simply reacts to his or her desires or emotions is not living a mature life. Many people tell us that we are nothing more than our bodies, nothing more than the sum of all our genetic material. One of the most famous ad campaigns was the Sprite campaign that told people, obey your thirst. These messages tell us you have no choice but to obey your physical desires. And yet if we live this way, we will never be satisfied. There will always be a sense that there's something missing in life because the body alone is incomplete without the power of the spirit working in us. So Paul reminds us, you are not in the flesh, you are in the spirit. Since the spirit of God dwells in you, you are not just a bunch of physical desires and emotions that control you. You can take control of your life with the help of the Spirit, make it a life of peace and joy. And this happens through prayer. The Spirit acts in us through prayer, and it is prayer that makes it possible for us to integrate all the different parts of our life. Are you a Christian who is just waiting around, hoping to get to heaven? Or are you a Christian who knows the power of God in your life now? The Gospel of John asks this question in a different way. Are you a Christian who is waiting to escape from suffering, or do you expect that you will see God's power in the midst of suffering? When Jesus heard about the illness of his friend Lazarus, he responded in a way very similar to his answer to the disciples' question about the man born blind last week. He said, this illness is not to end in death, but it is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Then Jesus does something surprising. The Bible tells us Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard Lazarus was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away. So Jesus could have walked to Bethany in a couple of hours, but he stayed away, and Lazarus died. When a male member of a family died in the ancient world, it was not only the loss of a loved one, it was the loss of income for the family, the loss of a working man. And we're not told how seriously Lazarus' death would affect the life of this family. But Jesus stays away because he not only wants to give life to Lazarus, he wants to give life to his entire family. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. Martha said to Jesus, "If you had been here, my brother would never have died." She says, "Too bad you weren't here, because now we're in trouble." And the neighbors agree with her. Could not the man who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died? Martha is a devout Jew, and she knows the Jewish teaching that the kingdom would begin with the resurrection of the dead at the end of time. So she asks Jesus to pray for her brother, that he will be judged favorably in the resurrection on the last day. Her sister Mary is in worse spiritual shape. The gospel tells us when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Mary feels that God has abandoned her and does not even want to meet with Jesus. Maybe she's angry with God. Both Martha and Mary are like so many people who believe in God, but are really unsure about how much God really cares about them. Jesus gives them a sign of God's care for them by raising their brother. Jesus shows God's care for them by his own tears. Jesus shows us that God's reaction to sin is not anger, but sorrow. Martha has no reason to fear God's judgment on her brother. Mary has no reason to be angry that God is indifferent to her. Jesus shows them God's desire to enter into our suffering. And that desire will be fully expressed when Jesus himself accepts death on the cross. Sisters and brothers, since Jesus has entered our suffering, that means that suffering is the place where we can expect God's power to be at work in our lives now. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life." He says, "The kingdom is here now. The power of new life is available to us now. Everyone who believes in me will never die." We are invited to become part of this move from cross to resurrection. It is especially in suffering when there is an opportunity for the power of love to grow stronger. No one ever thought that our Lent this year would be a time of facing a serious health crisis. But the coronavirus is not a plague sent by God. It is part of the imperfection of the world, and what was true for Lazarus is true for us today in our suffering. This illness is not to end in death, but it is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. The mission of the church, our mission, is to transform suffering into love by the power of the Spirit. So in this final week of Lent, let us transform suffering into love as we unite in prayer for one another. Let us transform suffering into love as we enter into the loneliness of others to encourage them. Let us transform suffering into love as we help those who have lost the ability to take care of themselves. The Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. We are assured of life, and we place our trust in the healing power of Jesus, the resurrection, and the life.